I'd like to call the September Services Committee meeting to order. And I need a motion to approve the agenda. Mr. Akers, seconded by anyone? Mr. Perkins, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We need a motion to approve the minutes. Mr. Perkins and Mr. Paquin, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We will move into the resolutions for Office of the Aging. We have the first one, modifying the 2018 budget for the Office of the Aging to receive state transportation operating assistance cleanup funds for St. Lawrence County Public Transportation. Mr. Denisha, seconded by Mr. Perkins.
Good evening. Annually, the State Department of Transportation has STOA funds that aren't used by other counties, so they pool the money together and separate them out amongst the county. It's called STOA cleanup funds. It's a nice extra pot of money that you can't always guarantee, but it's nice to get when you can. So this would be a resolution authorizing us to accept those funds and give them to St. Lawrence NYSERC to offset the operating costs for public transportation.
Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one we have, I need a motion authorizing the chair to sign a contract with New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision Office of Nutritional Services to provide food products to the nutrition program in the Office of the Aging. Mr. Lightfoot, seconded by Mr. Denisha.
This is a contract. It's a five-year contract authorizing a contract with the New York State Department of Corrections so that we can purchase juice for our nutrition sites. I think some pie fillings in there sometimes too, but it's mostly juice.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's it.
Thank you. She's standing up for Joe.
Oh, okay. Youth Bureau, we have need a motion authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the St. Lawrence County Workforce Development Board for a youth employment and training program and modifying the 2018 budget for the Youth Bureau. Mr. Hooper and Mr. Denisha.
So I am playing the part of Joanne tonight as well. So this is the standard contract that she brings about every year authorizing the youth employment and training program that she operates very successfully in the Youth Bureau.
Any questions on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Social Services, we need a motion modifying the 2018 budget for the Department of Social Services for overtime and training. Mr. Perkins, seconded by Mr. Burke.
So this is a proposed resolution to allow us to address some of the overtime issues that we've had. The most significant issues are in the services area, and we have you may recall some funding specifically for Child Protective Services caseworkers to do some extra overtime in an effort to try to get the caseload sizes down a bit. And there are other overtime needs that are here, ranging from home energy assistance program to medical services, temporary assistance. And there's a training issue that we need to sort out in order to get that to work. We have to have a modified budget for 2018.
Is there any questions for Chris on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next one, we need a motion for authorization to fill a temporary social welfare examiner position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Burke and Mr. Perkins. Okay, I'm sorry.
Switch, I think the two have changed.
So we need this to be a create and fill. Yeah. So on this one, we need to amend. This needs to say create and fill a temporary social welfare examiner. Can I get a motion for that amendment? Mr. Perkins, seconded by Mr. Paquin. All in favor of that amendment?
Aye.
All right, that carries. Now the amended resolution. Do I need to get another motion and second on that? Okay.
And you got it before. Yep.
So we're good with that.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Thank you for that. This is a position in the Home Energy Assistance Program, which is currently receiving hundreds of applications. The early outreach effort results in a large volume of work that needs to be processed before the main regular season opens in November. The exact date hasn't been decided on, but it'll probably be about November 13th. In the past, we have, and it's in the budget this way, used an employment and training counselor in this role here, but we had someone leave the department during probation so we could actually fill that position and put the person in heat, but it would be at a grade higher than what's necessary. That would be a grade 24, and we can instead have a temporary social welfare examiner in that role at a grade 18, who also will not be receiving benefits, and it'd be a very cost-effective way to approach trying to address the issues in the HEAP unit.
Any questions for Chris on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, we need a motion for authorization to fill a social welfare examiner position in the Department of Social Services.
Right, so this is a
Mr. Burke and Mr. LaPierre. Go ahead, Chris.
Right, so we have a social welfare examiner who has resigned, but we have ongoing need to make sure that we are responding to the applications for temporary assistance and SNAP benefits timely, and this is a request to fill that position.
Any questions or discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, we need a motion for authorization to fill a senior welfare examiner, senior social welfare examiner position in the Department of Social Services.
Right, so
Mr. Perkins and Mr. Burke. Go ahead, Chris. You're all set.
This position is a position that actually has just become vacant. It's also in the temporary assistance and supplemental nutrition assistance program area. We need to fill this position, though, in order to make sure that we have adequate supervision of the work.
Any questions on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the next one, we need a motion for authorization to fill a social welfare examiner position in the Department of Social Services. Motion, Mr. Perkins and Mr. Burke. Go ahead, Chris.
So this is not unlike the other social welfare examiner position, except that the person vacating this is retiring, and we need to fill the position in order to make sure that we are able to process the applications timely.
Any questions on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the last one for social services here, we need a motion for authorization to fill a caseworker / CPS position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Denisha and seconded by Mr. Akers.
So this is in the Child Protective Services area. It's a caseworker who's leaving this position to take another job. And we, as you know, have been struggling to make sure that we're maintaining the proper caseload sizes, and we really need to fill this position in order to make sure that we're responding to the referrals that we're receiving.
Any questions on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Oh. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I just got one quick question for Chris. Chris, since I've been here, the number one complaint I ever get is HEAP season.
Yes.
And getting return, yeah, I know. And getting return phone calls back and things like that. Is there a standard? Is there something in place that they have to call back within a certain amount of time, a return phone call? You know, a lot of my companies have gone to a 24-hour.
We, every year, make progress on this issue, but the sheer volume is such that we have really never been able to keep everybody satisfied. We are doing better than we were a few years ago due to some changes and some clarification of roles in the HEAP unit and who can do what. We also have this early outreach that allows us to address many of the issues before they get started. the state is making decisions, and sometimes we, at the beginning of the season in November, have people calling in just for information. So figuring out how to respond to that has been a challenge. We also have other ways for people to try to get through to us, including email, and okay. That has been very helpful. I know that it's been very frustrating for everyone. There's a few years ago when I think one of the judges called me up, and the system had just overloaded and it was sending messages to everybody in the county. And we can't have that. It's not the way to make this work. And we attempt to make sure that we've got all hands on deck and that we're doing everything that we can, and each year try to make refinements and improvements so that we're dealing with it. But I appreciate your raising that it's still a concern. I think we have some amazing tracking systems that we lacked just a few years ago that now allow us to know what's happening, and in that way deal with the calls more efficiently so people don't have to keep calling back.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is a struggle, and I confess to feeling like we're not doing as well as we should in that area.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
The next, we have a resolution for public health. We need a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for an Intergovernmental Personnel Act Mobility Program. Mr. Lightfoot and Mr. Timmerman.
Hi, everyone. This contract is to sign an agreement with the CDC for me to spend 2% of my time per month helping them with some of the surveillance work they do, particularly in the area of cerebral palsy. That's where my expertise lies. I think to maintain this type of a relationship with the CDC would be helpful for the department as well. And we could also do more work in the area of the people with disabilities and making sure that they have access to care and our services.
Any questions for Dana on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Dana. Next,
I just wanted to give an update on our vaccinations for the school children. So in the last year, the state has made a new guideline that you have to have all of your vaccinations after 2 weeks of the start of the school year, you have to stay home. And so we have done a lot of education just around the county to the superintendents and to the school nurses, just how important this is. So they have taken this to heart this year. And we are working very hard to get all the kids in. There are several of the doctor's offices here in town that are not, they're not able to provide the vaccines, or they're out of the vaccines. Our first kind of role to these families is to make sure that they have a provider. And so we help to find them, or if they have a provider, we try to help them to get an appointment. And we have kind of lost at those battles, and so we are trying to see these kids. And so tomorrow is the 14th day, and so we do have a lot of families who are trying to get in for their shots. For the past 3 weeks, we have had three additional days where we provide the shots just to these kids, and the full day has been charged with those kids. So I just wanted to give an update of that we've just been really working hard. We do have a two-week we have to follow these kids, or we have to be available to these kids for 2 weeks after the 14-day rule. And so we have two more weeks where we do have to provide these clinics. We are, we have been giving so many shots that we have ran out of some, and so we are working with the state that we can get them as quickly. But all of the other counties that are around us are in the same situation. With that said, we were going to give the county employees their flu shots starting, it was scheduled for tomorrow, but we've had to back that because we really have to get these kids in first. So the dates that we have set for that to start will be the 5th and the 9th, and we hope that we'll see you as well. And do you have any questions for me?
Yes, Mr. Akers.
These shots, what about the Amish community or in the homeschoolers? Is it all only for the requirement for public school students? Or?
It's the requirement for the public schools, yes.
Okay. Nothing for homeschoolers or Amish?
Homeschoolers, I'll have to get back to you on that because I think they don't follow that. For the Amish, for our vaccination program, that's actually the population that we're trying to target more. So we've done a lot of education to them. We go out to the homes, and we try to kind of use a snowball effect by trying to get to one and move kind of forward. When we do get a family that wants to get vaccinated, it's usually the whole family, so we get about 10 to 12 people all at one time.
Okay.
But that's a challenge for us as well.
And the bishop has to approve it?
I am not certain on that. I will check that because there are some families that have said, well, my parents got me vaccinated, so I'm going to do this. So there are some that don't have
Renegades.
The same viewpoints. Yeah, yes, exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Dana on that? All right. Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, thanks.
Next, we have community services. We need a motion for authorization to abolish a mental health counselor and create and fill a licensed social worker in community services. Mr. Akers, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot. Go ahead, Jay.
This particular position was vacated by a person who was promoted to the mental health director. If you recall, end of last year, beginning of this year, we did interviews for the child and family support team. So we had some people that were on the eligible list for filling this position. Reached out to the one person who we thought would be a good fit for the organization to see if she was still interested. She was. She did not want to do community-based services, however, which is what the child and family support team was. She was more interested in doing clinic services. So we're moving to change the title of this position from a mental health counselor to a licensed social worker, which that person is. And if approved, we have a verbal commitment from her that she would take this position.
Any questions for Jay on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Next up, we have we did old or new business, I guess. I guess we're up to County Administrator's Report.
Okay. Revisiting the first presentation for Raise the Age, similar to what I reported with Indigent Legal Services funding that's coming in, you saw the authorization, but you didn't see the budget being modified. Both through the conversations as the years progressed with the legislation, as well as the efforts to put the budget together, what we've decided in both of those instances is to have a resolution come through that identifies exactly where the funds will go and exactly what they'll be used for. So that should occur later in this year and or at the beginning of next year. So we didn't include funds necessarily in the 2019 budget to accomplish those because they're supposed to be 100% funded. And so we're asking that once those resolutions come forward, they will become part of your budget. So that's why you won't see those specific in the budget, but they will be added at the appropriate time. One of the things that we're taking a look at, and many of you are familiar with the work that Jack Vineski and Doug Vineski have done over the years for public health and for our cost allocation report, is an effort to partner potentially, but to work with our neighbors in Lewis and in Franklin, who already work with Vineski's as well, to look at some of the software that they're putting together to track Raise the Age. So as you know, it's 100% reimbursement on certain things. Now that can become a whole job in and of itself. And what they've taken the opportunity to do is to create software that would allow us to enter the information so that when it comes time for reimbursement, we're able to submit the reports and that they're in a format that's acceptable to the state. So they began the conversation last week. I was tied up with budget, but I'll be joining that conversation. We've talked several times. We looked at a couple of other counties in our region to include, but they aren't already established with Vineski Group. So they're going to look to also provide some incentive pricing for us. We'll bring that to you in conjunction with all of the funding. But potentially that's going to make it easier in all the departments to take on this reimbursement environment. I appreciate the update Dana provided with regard to flu vaccines, and if any of legislators are interested, certainly can make an appointment or let Kelly or Rebecca know, and we can organize the time for you to get over to the department. Wanted to give you an update. The courthouse project that you approved a couple of months back is beginning this week. They will start, I believe, tomorrow or later this week with the abatement that needs to take place at the main courthouse doors here. So there may be some mild upset as far as entrance and exit to the building, but we aren't in a situation yet where there's any security, so people will still be able to find an entrance and exit to the building, and we'll provide directions accordingly. We'll make sure you get those notices as well. And keep everyone informed as that makes moving about the building and the parking lots, which we all know we're pressed for, more accommodating through the process. Vacancy review update, that meeting took place last week, and as I mentioned to you at our last meeting, there were 15 vacancies considered. Legislators Hooper and Denisha joined us. I do apologize for the create and fills that were one on each committee. They got switched, but I appreciate the amendments to clean that up. But we were able to look at 7 positions to be filled with 30 days. 3 were filled or recommended to be filled immediately, 2 for the 60-day, and then 1 position was not approved, and we were talking through what options we might have relative to accomplishing those needs. So I believe that that continues to be an opportunity for savings. One of the things I wanted to speak to about the overtime was when the sheriff joined us, I think one of the things that many departments remind you all is what the budget team's done since 2015, moving that 25% was a conscious effort to maintain an open dialogue with the board about the use of overtime. And I would say that with regard to the deputy side, in 2015, which was the first year that we began this process, the overtime was reduced on the roadside from $215,000 to $178,000. And then the following year in 16 to 142.8. I think we're all aware of many of the activities that took place last year that made last year a bit of an anomaly relative to both overtime and jail population. So that spiked around 165. We're looking this year with the modification made to come within the budget that was set aside both in the department and in contingency right around 175 or 180. So the budget team's taken another look at this, trying to make sure that what we're doing to require this conversation is the smart thing to do. I think these numbers demonstrate that it did have an impact, and you have the opportunity to ask questions about what the use of the overtime is. Similarly, in the jail, the year we implemented this, the number in 2014 was $300,000. In 2015, it dropped to $234,000. It rose again in 16 to $288,000, and again, last year was an anomaly at $341,000. But we're tracking right now with $156,000 as the snapshot today of overtime to come in around $221,000, and that's within budget. So I think the conversation opportunity, the work we've done in budget has had an impact, and we continue to look at that on an annual basis. One of the things we did in the opposite fashion was in social services, where they didn't use to budget for overtime, and around 2015 we asked them to begin doing so. And what I mean by that is there was never a time where on-call workers didn't also then have to work some overtime. But the way it was accomplished in those days was the savings that were appreciated from the turnover would pay for them. And in our efforts to try and sort of true up that number so that you would see in a budget what's going to be spent, because if you recall, we tracked very closely the vacancy savings with the 30, 60, and immediate fills, and now we're seeing what that number actually looks like for social services. And I think that's a true picture of what it costs to have staff taking care of the folks in the county. So I think we made a couple changes for different reasons, but they've had the impact that the board was looking for. Next week at Finance, Gary McAuliffe will join us. He's the regional spill engineer at Finance to present with regard to the ongoing efforts at J&L from the perspective of the DEC. And then in 2 weeks from tonight, we'll have the 2019 tentative budget presentation, as well as a look at where the 2018 projections are coming in. Wanted to also mention to you, remind you anyhow, of the Janus decision that came out June 27th. That gave us an opportunity to sit down with all of our unions' representation to discuss the opportunity both of what we have on file as well as what we needed to have on file because of the Janus decision. We made some deadlines, gave a wide timeline for them to respond. We now have information on file on everyone, all seven unions. Most importantly to note that only eight right now have opted out. So we do have information on file for everyone. So I wanted to give you an update on that. Any questions?
We do have a need for executive session for all four counts here, negotiations, litigation, personnel, and appointments. And I need a motion and a second to go into executive. We have Mr. Timmerman and Mr. Fay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are in executive session.